I feel so insignificant. I feel so overwhelmed. I feel like many times, can we make a difference? But we've quoted a couple times already in this short time we've been together, Mark in chapter number 8, and what the Lord knows about every soul. He said, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Dr. Tom, if you go and are able to lead one Mongolian to the Lord,
yes,
just one, it'll be worth it all forever. I have a feeling he'll be able to do much more than that. Just one can make a difference. Missions has always began with one.
Yes.
Began with the Heavenly Father, who sent his only one and only begotten Son. Caiaphas, the unsaved high priest, in John chapter 18, verse number 4, he even realized and he said that one man should die for the people. And one Savior on a cross spoke to one sinner. That one sinner spoke one sentence. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And made all the difference in eternity for that one. You know, sometimes we seem so insignificant. Sometimes we seem so little. The things that we do, the actions that we make. But I want to give you tonight, in just the moments that we have, four little insignificant things that can make a world of difference. The eternal word of God says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. Every young person tonight, again, every middle-aged person, every older person tonight, let us always remember, let's remember this, that just one person can make a difference. So many illustrations. Only a boy named David, the little shepherd boy, after 40 days, there as the giant of the Philistines defiled the army of the living God, the teenage boy came down, and we all know the story. Our children know the story, don't they? Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but five little stones he did bring. One little stone went in the sling, the sling went round and round. One little stone went in the sling went round and round and round and round, and you know it? And around and around and around and around it went. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down. God gave a great victory. Jonah, the disobedient, just one lone preacher, and at that, at first, a disobedient preacher, went to the city of Nineveh. Consider this. And God had to, you know, have him go by way of Whale University. We all know the story. And he did go, and he cried, repent. The Bible says that the entire city, beginning from the king down, repented. The Bible tells us that there was at least 120,000 souls in that city. And God, by the way, that wicked city of Nineveh got a reprieve of judgment for 100 years. Just what the difference that one person can make. Philip was having a great revival in Samaria, and God called him, and he went down to the backside of the desert, the Gaza Strip. And there he would meet just one on a chariot. We know the story, don't we? He'd meet that Ethiopian eunuch, and he didn't understand what he was reading, and Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And that man was of great authority, was saved that day, was baptized, and he went back to Ethiopia, and history records that he wrought a great revival in the land of Ethiopia. Just one person can make a world of difference. James 5 and verse 20, the Bible tells us, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall hide a multitude of sins, shall win a soul. How important it is. One soul. I've already mentioned one or two nights already this week. I've mentioned about Brother Dave Harris, one of my choice missionaries of our church family, and how he's been in Japan for these plus 20 years. He's making a difference. I'm here to tell every single person here tonight that God wants to use you to make a difference. Just one person can make a difference. But I want you to consider, here we are Thursday night. How many people are in church on Thursday night? How many Christians? I'm so glad you came out. You made a decision to be here tonight. If I close my Bible right now, and if we were just to have a word of prayer, as far as I'm concerned, it's already been worth it to be in the house of God just to hear the testimony we heard tonight. But not just one person can make a difference, but secondly, I consider tonight, I want you to consider tonight for a moment, just one decision. One little decision can make a world of difference. Sunday, and I can't wait to share with you for 40 minutes in Sunday school class the life story of Samuel J. Mills. And I know that most everyone here probably, rather than tell this Monday night when we first mentioned him, maybe you never heard of the young 23-year-old boy from Torringford, Connecticut, and Harvey Loomis and Byron Green, three boys from Connecticut and two boys from Massachusetts, and how they would go start a prayer meeting at a newfound college in Williamstown, Massachusetts, already a heathen college, if you will. And they'd meet two times a week, and they'd have a little society, the brethren, secret prayer meeting. And they'd pray for something that was revolutionary. One day, August 6th, 1806, a thunderstorm would come up, and they'd run to a haystack by the Hoosick River. They hid underneath that haystack, and Samuel J. Mills proposed a revolutionary concept. He said, let us give ourselves, these young 20-something-year-old boys, let us give ourselves for the cause of world evangelization to reach the lost around the world. They didn't know the language of the 1040 window, but that's where they wanted to go. They wanted to go to India, where someone some 13 years early by the name of William Carey led the way from England. They wanted to go to the Far East. Harvey Loomis, one would protest, being honest and not thinking for one moment that it would be possible to send the gospel to these lost, unelected heathen. He said, we can't do it. It's not possible. We must have another crusade and wipe out all the Muslims. And then we might be able to share the gospel. Young Samuel J. Mills in his squeaky voice, he protested and he said these words, we can do it if we will. And four of those five young men prayed at what was known at the Haystack Prayer Meeting. It began what we know of as the birthplace of American Christian missions that would go around the world. The story doesn't end there, it just begins there. Just one decision. Can I get real practical with you for a few moments? Why don't you make a decision? I'm going to be in church when the doors of the house of the Lord are open. I'm going to be there. Just one decision. I'm going to come to prayer meeting. How many of God's children around America that name the name of Christ are satisfied with 1 hour of 168 a week to worship God? Maybe you need to make a decision tonight. And that decision, by the way, just one prayer meeting, what God can do in one prayer meeting, I think I'll go. Did you ever go to church, by the way, and you didn't really want to come? I'm sure there's nobody like that. That never happened to you. I'm the preacher. Sometimes it happens to me. You know, just one decision to come to a prayer meeting. Just one decision at a church service. The preacher gives an invitation. The Holy Spirit of God works on your heart and you come to an altar. There was a day, I'm sure, when this brother, and we mentioned about surrendering to the Lord. There was a day I've heard Pastor Rich's testimony, how he surrendered to the Lord. Just one decision. Maybe just one missions conference. Make all the difference in the world and make a decision that lasts for eternity. I'm not being sensational when I say, do you realize that we're making history? We are part of His story. Do you believe in a providential God? Do you believe He's got you here for a purpose? Do you really, really believe that there's someone much larger, infinitely larger than yourself? There's a cause greater, as David said, is there not a cause? Just one missions conference, as we preach here tonight, the Zavatskys know of the Balavas, another tough name to say. Tony and Paula Balava, Roman Catholic people, French Canadian, New Englanders. They came to church, got gloriously saved. Great jobs, both of them. Good careers. Captain in the correctional institute, prison guard. Correctional officer, excuse me. Paralegal secretary. God called them to the ministry. And now they're in Surprise, Arizona. Surprise, surprise. Planting the Mountainside Baptist Church. One decision, they made that decision to serve the Lord at a missions conference. By the way, just one gospel track. Pastor Rich, I don't know if you remember this here. I didn't recall this till just a couple, 3 months ago. This is personal with Miss Carrie and Pastor Rich and I for just a moment. Wayne Fender walked into a doctor's office. Did you know this? And gave a gospel tract to Grizel Paez. Grizel is now a member of her church. I baptized her husband, Eddie Paez. And now Jesus came to church a couple, 3 weeks ago. And it goes on. You see, decision. Just one little insignificant decision. Decision determines destiny. Just one decision. How many, I wanted to ask him, I was quizzing him at dinner time. How much money does it take to become a dentist? A lot. And then you throw it away when you finally got your college finally paid off after years and years and years, and all the insurance and all the overhead and all the hassle and everything you have to do in order to get to where you're at, and then just give it all up. One decision. Brother Keller, I'm sure, will be the first to say it was not a decision made in vain. So insignificant. Some have compassion making a difference. Just one person can make a difference. Just one decision. Thirdly, just one gift can make a difference. Go to Mark chapter 14 quickly. Mark in chapter number 14 tonight. Look at verses 3 through 9 with me, just quickly. Bible says, here's this story here, and being in Bethany, verse number 3, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? The natural man, the carnal Christian, says, what a waste! What a waste to give to missions. Oh, good night, we're already tithing. We're already taking care of our home base. We're already keeping the home fires burning. Amen. Do we want to do more? Do we want to waste it all? The Lord said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? Verse 6. She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. Do what you can. Give what you can. Just one gift can make a difference. Maybe you heard the story of little Hattie Mae Wyatt, 1886, in a suburb of Philadelphia, little poor girl. Can you imagine actually coming to church? Wouldn't this be a blessing? Actually coming to church and the church house be so filled that there wasn't place to sit and that you couldn't get into the church building and you had to go home? That was a little poor ghetto girl, other side of the tracks girl's state, Hattie Mae Wyatt, when she came to the little church of Reverend Conwell. But they would make room for her, and for 2 years as a little girl, she would, from 10 to 12 years old, she came to Sunday school, that packed little church building. One day, Hattie Mae Wyatt died. Reverend Conwell was called to do the funeral. And her mother gave the preacher her little purse, 1886. And that purse was 57 cents. I don't think that was a small bit of money. In 1886, that was quite a bit of money, especially for a little girl. She had a little note. She said she was saving her money to give it to the church that needed a bigger building so that more people, more boys and girls, could come and hear about Jesus. The preacher took that 57 pennies, and he auctioned them off. And from those 57 pennies, they got $250, which was a lot of money in those days. And they bought a building. That building, that church building, that house building, that Sunday school building became a classroom setting for the Temple College. And once upon a time, for a great gospel preaching church called the Temple Baptist Church and Temple University. And the inspiration from that little 57 cents, the Wyatt Mite Society was formed. And tens of thousands of dollars in our economy would be hundreds of thousands and, yes, tens of millions of dollars were raised for the cause of Christ. Just one little gift can make a difference. Little as much when God is in it. You give what you can. We could turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 42. You know it so well. The widow's mite, verse 42 and verse number 44. The Lord said these, they gave of their wealth. Verse 43, you know it so well, don't you? But verse 44, she hath given all that she had. You know, I honestly believe this. I thank God. I mentioned another night, to my knowledge, the Lord has blessed us and beyond belief in our church, and He's blessed you more than you can realize and understand. There's no doubt He's blessed us. And yet, in our case, and I don't know, everyone's different. God works in different ways. God's always chosen to use the little man to provide for the work of God. And somehow I believe, I can't prove this, this is a supernatural thing, but I believe the child that gives sacrificially to missions, that gives that extra 50 cents a week or that dollar a week, maybe they make a $5 allowance. Maybe they're already giving 50 cents to the church, and maybe they're throwing another quarter. Somehow I believe that God can use that 25 cents or 50 cents that's a sacrifice to that child, or that $10 that's a sacrifice, or $50 that might be extra a week that's a sacrifice for that adult, that somehow He can use that in a greater way than that person that may give $100 or $500 or $1,000 to missions, that gives out of their abundance and not from sacrifice. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll see that our miracle-working God did some real miracles with our little gifts. I believe that. So give what you can give. Give when you can give it. The first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16 tells us. Give as much as you can give, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Who knows what God will do with your little gift? And if some have compassion making a difference, just one person can make a difference for an eternity. Just one decision can make a difference. Just one gift can make a difference. Lastly tonight, just one step of faith can oftentimes make a world of difference. Let me give you a scripture that we could look at tonight. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and verse number 9. There in Acts 16, 9, Paul received the Macedonian vision. And the vision was, come over and help us. And all that we have to do is go one more chapter in our Bible to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 6. And it was said that these are they that have turned the world upside down with the gospel. We just got done with our missions conference. And last few days of February, Dr. Ray Thompson was our missions conference speaker. Dr. Thompson and his wife Jean, young, little tiny people, I don't think they'd mind me saying that. They got saved as young people. They went off to the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then they, in 1952, at the second missions conference of Highland Park Baptist Church, where Dr. Lee Robertson was the pastor, as an 18-year-old boy, Ray Thompson surrendered himself to the mission field. In 1955, they went to St. Thomas. Now, I've never been to the Caribbean. I'm sure many of you probably have, but I have been to Hawaii, but I haven't been to the Caribbean. And when we think of the Caribbean, of course, we think of vacation time, don't we? We think of nice, I'm sure. We always, you know, there's the commercials and there's those, you know, we think of sunshine and warmth and nice vacation stuff, don't we? But he was called to go to St. Thomas. There's not one single Baptist church on the island. Brother Thompson went to St. Thomas. And today you get on a website and you find out what the number one religious so-called denomination is in the St. Thomas. You'll find about 37% of the island is Baptist. The Blue Water Christian College, Dr. Thompson and his wife were instrumental in starting. It celebrates its 50th year here. I believe it is this year. There's a radio station on Antigua that covers almost all of the Caribbean islands. There's over 200 Baptist churches now in the Caribbean islands. One step of faith, Brother Thompson went as a young man, now the Attorney General of the state of, or rather of the island of St. Thomas, is a devout Christian, and as a little boy he was saved in the ministry of Brother and Sister Thompson. I'm sure Dr. and Mrs. Norton have their stories of those that were gloriously saved. We could go on and on and on tonight. I think of Stephen Laurel Volante. I know just Pastor Rich and Carrie would know that name probably. Young couple. Steve grew up in a pastor's house in Northampton, Massachusetts. Laurel, his wife, was a deacon's daughter. Got married, went to 4 years of Bible college. Or went to 4 years of Bible college, got married rather. 3 years deputation. Went to Ghana, West Africa about 14 years ago. We just celebrated Easter. They went there almost to the day of Easter, and I think it was 1997. Don't quote me on that year. I could be off a year or two possibly. They were there 1 year. After 1 month, Laurel, they had all the shots and so forth, she still contracted malaria. She got it again the second time. She got it again the third time. They said, you need to go home. You need to get professional, top-of-the-line medicine, or you're going to die. Easter came, and the day before Easter, Laurel got extra sick. And she told Steve, I want you to go. The church house is going to be filled tomorrow. You need to go. I'll be okay. I'm sick. But I'll be okay. We didn't spend our whole life to get here to the mission field and not have you preach to hundreds on Easter Sunday. And he did. He went back that night, preached to a few hundred in 1 year's ministry. The next day, Monday morning, Laura Volante died, went home to heaven, left three little girls to Steve. We support the Petersons now in Ghana, West Africa. They're associates. There's thousands of people in Ghana that have been gloriously saved because of the ministry, the step of faith of Steve Volante. Lord's blessed. Laurel's been in heaven. By the way, her works do follow her. Oh, I don't know how I can tell you. Young people, you know, it would be criminal, I think. Pastor Rich and I were talking about things that are criminal today. When churches go downhill and lose their fire, that's criminal. When we lose our first love, that's criminal. When we don't send out our young people, as God told us to do, that's criminal, if you will, against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know, I'm thankful he's so gracious. But just one little decision can make all the difference in the world. I wish I had time to tell you, and all the stories throughout history, one small decision. I've been to Gettysburg, I've been to Little Round Top. Anybody ever been to Gettysburg? You ever been to Little Round Top? Not much, probably about the size of this auditorium. Maybe you've seen the movie, Joshua Chamberlain, the Union soldier. But whoever got Little Round Top, and it was a decision that was made in a matter of moments. And it was a decision that the Union held that hill by the thinnest, the slightest of margins. By one soldier, one main Union from the state of Maine soldier that when they ran out of bullets, he said, fix bayonets. Some of you have seen the movie. And they made the charge. They held the hill. You study Civil War history. Well-versed historians of the Civil War. And if you ever go to Gettysburg, Pickett's charge was the next day. The turning point of the Civil War, every even novice historian knows, was Gettysburg. And the slightest of margins, whoever took the hill commanded the battlefield the next day. Had the Confederates taken that hill, Pickett's charge would have been a success. In the war, we may have two countries today. We could tell stories like that all over. I hope I can do it off the top of my head, but the shoe was lost for the want of a nail. The horse was lost for the want of a shoe. The rider was lost for the want of a horse. The battle was lost for the want of a rider. And the kingdom was lost for the want of a battle, all for the want or the lack of a nail. Sometimes the smallest decision can make a world and eternity a difference. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Little simple prayer. The difference between heaven and hell. Hear my Lord. Send me. The difference between nothing wrong with being a dentist, living your life in a professional venue of some sorts. Nothing wrong with that if that's what God has for you to do. But hear my Lord, maybe I need to go to Mongolia. Just a little decision. And if some have compassion, making a difference, just one person can make a difference here tonight. Just one decision. Maybe you need to make a decision tonight. Just one decision, one gift. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to up my missions giving this coming year. Maybe that upping of missions giving will keep this church supporting a certain missionary that is this close to coming off the field. But by your faithful giving, they're going to be able to stay on the field. And that one person is going to get saved. And that one person that got saved is going to lead somebody else to the Lord. And only God knows. One step of faith can make all the difference. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Heavenly Father,